There's so much speculation nowadays, well, especially today, about the war with Iraq. People speculating about when it may begin. I heard on the news coming in today, possibly next week. Now, I seem to remember several weeks ago someone else saying, possibly next week. And as I said, that was several weeks ago. The when of the war is still a mystery. The how seems to be shaping up. The role of various international agencies like the UN and other groups, well, that remains to be seen. The lines do seem to have been drawn, don't they? We have on the one side the United States, and on the other side we have Iraq. The United States has a group of people who are willing either to go along or at least go along in word, and Iraq stands, for the most part, alone. Although some today are saying that those who protest the war are standing with Iraq. That's a matter of debate. What does it all mean? Does it fit within biblical prophecy? Is it predicted by the Bible? I imagine that just as often as there are people scanning the headlines for any hint of when this war might begin, there are also people who are scanning their scriptures for any hint of a prophecy regarding this particular war. In fact, if you'll keep listening during this hour of Open Lines, Issues, etc., we'll share with you a prophet who says he has found this war in Scripture, and having found this war in Scripture, at least he's 75% sure, he says. He's 75% sure that this is a war spoken of in Revelation chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. You can actually go 13 through 21. The sixth angel with his sixth trumpet. And he says, if he's right, and he believes he's 75% right, if he's right, he says that, at least according to Revelation chapter 9, what's going to happen here is a third of mankind will be killed. At least that's what the Bible says is going to happen when the sixth trumpet blows. An entire third of mankind killed, and the rest, who survive, will not repent. I'm talking about the Reverend Irvin Baxter. We'll be hearing from him in just a minute. But I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you would, for this hour of Open Lines, to Revelation chapter 9. We'll look there at the latter part of the chapter. And I'd like to know from you, do you believe that this war is prophesied in Scripture? Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Isn't it interesting that on the one side, of the religious types, we have those who are crying that this war is a foul, that this war is against the laws of God and man, according to the Reverend Talbert, who is the president of the United Methodist Church. You've seen his commercial saying that this war is immoral and unjust. And on the other side, we have people who say that this war is already written by the hand of God in Scripture. It will occur. The interesting thing about this war is that it does not denote which side wins. If you're reading Revelation chapter 9, and it does not say which side is the bad guys. But it does give some other interesting details, and I'd like to see, for those of you who believe that, and who will agree here when we hear from the Reverend Irvin Baxter, who agree that this is a war predicted in the book of Revelation or elsewhere in Scripture, whether or not you can match up the details. Because sometimes, even with Scripture, the devil is in the details. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. It is Open Lines, and as always, Open Lines is for anything you'd like to talk about. There's something here in the latest issue of Time magazine that might be of interest to some of us. It's a fraternity, Gamma Lambda Mu. Gamma Lambda Mu, the members of this fraternity are pictured standing on the steps of the Student Union in Florida. It's Florida International University. They are wearing their fraternity t-shirts, an average-looking group of young men. They're nice-looking, they're clean-cut, none of them are making any obscene gestures. They're all smiling. They seem to have a great fraternity here in this picture in Time magazine. On the back of their t-shirts, on the front of their t-shirts, it simply reads Gamma Lambda Mu. The name of their fraternity. On the back it says, let's give them something to talk about. One of the fraternity brothers is turned around to the camera showing that little slogan on the back. And the headline reads, out of the closet and on to fraternity row, gay college kids are making their brotherhood official on U.S. campuses. I never had gay friends growing up, says one, but this is a positive experience for me. I'll share that story with you in just a minute. Gay fraternities, and I imagine quickly to follow are lesbian sororities. We've talked about fraternities and sororities here on Issues Etc. before. I never anticipated that this would be a turn of events. Coming up in the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking with, we'll be talking with Pastor Kurt Marquardt in hour two. He's assistant professor of systematic theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The subject, evangelism. Is paving your parking lot so that seekers find it easier to enter your sanctuary, if that's what you call it anymore, is that evangelism? Is making friends with your unbelieving neighbor, does that qualify as evangelism? We'll have him answer those questions. And whether or not doctrine and evangelism run counter to one another, in the second hour of the program. In the third hour, the author of our Issues Etc. book of the month for March, Confession and Forgiveness, will continue a conversation with him talking about the church's role in confession and forgiveness. Ted Kober, Director of Leadership Training for Peacemaker Ministries, based in Billings, Montana. And as I mentioned, he is author of our Issues Etc. book of the month for March, titled simply Confession and Forgiveness. Does the church have a responsibility to see to it that confession and forgiveness is carried out among Christians, or is this a purely individualistic thing? We'll talk about that in the third hour of Issues Etc. It's open lines during this hour, and your questions and comments are invited. The Reverend Irvin Baxter has been making some comments. We will play a little bit of his comments for you here in just a second, making some comments that are linking a particular passage of Scripture to the events that are unfolding in the Middle East. The passage is Revelation chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. I will read it for you, and then we'll hear from the Reverend Baxter. We're picking up in the middle of the chapter, right after the fifth trumpet and the first woe. This is Revelation, so jumping down in the middle of it is a little bit like being dropped in the middle of New York City during rush hour. Verse 13. When the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates, the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, and the month, and the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. For those of you who don't have your calculators handy, that's 200 million troops. That's the number of mounted troops he saw. He says, I heard their number. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision. And those who rode them, they wore breastplates the color of fire and sapphire and sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came from their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by fire, smoke, and sulfur coming out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like serpents' heads, and by means of them they wound. And then the chapter concludes, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor did they give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. That's Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21. The particular verses that Irvin Baxter is concerned about are verses 14 and 15. Now, the Reverend Irvin Baxter is afraid that he's already read all about this looming war with Iraq. And he's found it in the book of Revelation right in those verses. Let's hear what Pastor Baxter of End Times Magazine says about how we are living amid the trumpet judgments of the ninth chapter of the book of Revelation.
If in fact the fifth trumpet events were fulfilled by the Gulf War of 1991, then the next major event on God's prophetic timetable would be the sixth trumpet, which is this war that kills 2 billion people and originates from the Euphrates River.
Now, I have to give the Reverend Baxter his due here. He is at least trying to read Revelation chapter 9 and these passages here regarding the sixth trumpet in context of the earlier part of Revelation chapter 9. He says, if in fact the fifth trumpet has been blown and the fifth trumpet prophecies were fulfilled in the first Gulf War, the fifth trumpet prophecies, for those of you who have your Bibles open, you will see, begin with the shaft being opened, a bottomless pit, smoke like a great furnace coming up, the sun and the air darkened with the smoke from the shaft, and then out of the shaft come scorpions and locusts. Well, they seem to be the same animal. They are not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or tree, which was what you would expect locusts to do, but only those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of the scorpion when it stings someone. People seek death. And then he goes on to describe in great detail these locusts. They have as their king, it says in verse 11, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. In the Greek, it is Apollyon. It means destroyer or destruction. Now, the Reverend Baxter is speculating that the fifth trumpet is sounded during the first Gulf War. What do you think about that? Those events I just described from the first chapter of Revelation 9, do those fit the first Gulf War? 5 months is intriguing. I don't know how long the first Gulf War actually lasted from beginning to end. Again, Baxter says that this war today is prophesied in Revelation chapter 9, verses 14, and it will kill many people.
It would be the most horrible times in the history of the world, actually. We know this war is coming because it's in the Bible. We don't know that this is it. But the reason why I would tend to think that it is it is because it specifically states that the source of this war is the Euphrates River. It says there are four angels bound in the great river Euphrates.
All right, now he is finding his cue. Laying aside again the issue of whether or not the fifth trumpet is sounded in the book of Revelation, therein makes reference to the first Gulf War. That's how he begins. He says, if the fifth trumpet was the first Gulf War, then what we're seeing now is very likely the sixth trumpet in the second Gulf War. It might be this great battle of 200 million mounted soldiers where a third of mankind is killed, not by the soldiers, but by the horses. The horses with lions' heads and who breathe out fire and sulfur and kill a third of mankind. He says he's not sure, but he says the river Euphrates is a clue for him, and he thinks that since the Euphrates is that river that runs down through what we now call Iraq to the Persian Gulf, that geographical clue tells him perhaps this is the war spoken of in Revelation chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. What do you think about this? Are we watching biblical prophecy fulfilled? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And like so many, Irvin Baxter says he isn't definitely linking an upcoming war in Iraq with any biblical prophecy in Revelation.
Symbolic language, I understand that there might be varied interpretations on it, but yet, since the Euphrates is to be the source of this war, and since we are getting ready to attack this week probably, the land through which most of the Euphrates flows, then I think it does have ominous implications.
What do you think? Do you think that this war, because we're getting ready to attack the land through which most of the Euphrates flows, as he says, Irvin Baxter, do you think that this war has ominous implications and possible connections to biblical prophecy? What about the other details in Revelation chapter 9 in the latter part of the chapter, like 200 million mounted troops? The last time I checked, the American troops, by our count, were 200,000. I don't know what Saddam's troops look like. But that's a detail that I imagine if you want to link this to Revelation chapter 9, you'll have to account for, and maybe there's a way to do that. It doesn't actually say 200 million. It does say twice 10,000 times 10,000. And the Reverend Baxter does admit that this is figurative language and open to different interpretations. Finally, the Reverend Irvin Baxter of End Times Magazine says that President Bush should be very cautious about waging war with Iraq if this is true.
Knowing the possibility that a war could be unleashed to kill 2 billion people, if I could offer advice, I would say, you know, be very careful before you launch this war because it could have unprecedented implications. If I were saying how certain I am, I think I'm 75 to 80% sure that we're getting ready to face that right now, and I hope I'm wrong, frankly.
He hopes he's wrong, but he's 75 to 80% sure. Those kind of odds, well, most of us live with those kind of odds every day, don't we? 75 to 80% sure of anything is about as sure as we are sure of anything that happens in our everyday life. Irvin Baxter says he's 75 to 80% sure that this war is the war spoken of in Revelation chapter 9 because of the Euphrates mention. And he's afraid that President Bush might be unleashing a war that will kill 2 billion people, one-third of the world's population. What do you think? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's grant the corollary between the Euphrates. No one can deny that the Euphrates River is the same Euphrates River that now flows. The Euphrates River of the ancient world is the same Euphrates River that flows now down through Iraq. There's no doubt about that. But is that the Euphrates River which is being spoken of in the book of Revelation? Does it point us, does it give us a pointer on the modern globe to where this war will be and when it will be and what may happen if, as he says, George W. Bush unleashes a war that may have terrible results for all mankind? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phones and talk first with Mark, who's calling from his car. Mark, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, Pastor. Yeah, I don't really believe a word that Reverend Baxter's saying, and 75% just isn't good enough. Because I think I found a Bible passage that precisely predicts our situation now with 100% accuracy.
Let's have it.
That would be, I think it's Matthew 24:6, that would say that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And that seems to really fit the situation.
That's awful general, Mark.
Well, I know, but if you're going to go with 100% accuracy, this is the best I can do.
Mark, thank you very much for the call. So Mark doesn't believe anything Irvin Baxter says. He would prefer to stay with Matthew 24:6. There will be wars and rumors of wars from the mouth of our Lord himself, and leave it at that. What about you? Are you looking for more specificity than that from your Bible and your headlines? I mean, isn't this what many of us have been taught? That if biblical prophecy is of any use to us today, we will have to be able to find its corollary in the news, in what's happening in our everyday lives. And I think that's all that Irving Baxter is trying to do. What do you think? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Do you agree with the Reverend Baxter from End Times Magazine that an upcoming war with Iraq has been prophesied in Scripture? Maybe not Revelation chapter 9. Maybe you have one of your own. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Roger is calling from his car. Roger, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks a lot. I just wanted to let you know he's your 3 o'clock competition on another local station.
No kidding.
And I just flipped to it just to make sure that was the same gentleman. That they said he's going to be in town next week. And as far as believing him being 80% correct, I think Jesus said no one knows, only my Father, and that's what I go by.
Well, you know, people of the Reverend Baxter's ilk would probably say Jesus is referring to his second coming. And that's the thing about which we cannot set a day or an hour, but all the other events leading up to it, antecedent events leading up to it, we can find those. There's no problem with date setting with regard to those, but we won't date set on Jesus' return. What would you think?
Well, I still don't think he's right. First of all, the numbers don't add up for one thing, and I don't think it's. I don't think the end is here. I don't think the third of mankind is going to die by the end of the year. That's, you know, I think I'm 80% right, but, you know, I just don't buy it. I don't understand the people who preach that. They have a motive. They're trying to sell me something like his magazine, maybe, I guess. I don't know.
Roger, thank you very much for the call. Well, Roger's 80% sure that he's right. So he's got as much certainty in his position as does the Reverend Irvin Baxter of End Times Magazine. I was unaware of the fact that he was competition in this market, but there you go. You call that divine providence? Now, let's talk about 80%, 75-80% for a second. This is very common nowadays among so-called modern-day prophets, or those who simply tell us that they can find modern-day interpretations or modern-day applications or modern-day fulfillments of biblical prophecy. In particular, the book of Revelation and other end times books. 70-80%, 75-80% certainty that they're right. And he says in the end, I hope I'm wrong. Which I wonder, I don't think I've ever heard an Old Testament prophet say, thus saith the Lord, but boy, I hope I'm wrong. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Did Ezekiel ever say, thus saith the Lord, but I hope I'm wrong? Or did he ever say, thus saith the Lord, 75-80% certainty? There is about 20-25% uncertainty with regard to whether or not this is what the Lord hath said. But for some reason, the purveyors of prophecy today get away with 75-80% and get away with saying, I hope I'm wrong, and get away with the loophole that lets them out if they are wrong. Hey, I said I hoped I was wrong, and I was wrong. I said I was only 75% sure. Is that good enough? I mean, someone who purports to say, I have found a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Larry's up next, calling from his car. Larry, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I would give Reverend Baxter the benefit of the doubt, because if Saddam Hussein unleashed some of those chemical weapons he got, more than one-third of mankind might be gone.
Well, then let's talk. If we're going to hold the Reverend Baxter to the one-third figure, what do you make of the 200 million mounted troops, Larry?
Well, those troops are, I believe that's part of an allegory in the Bible where, you know, we're going to recruit more soldiers to fight this war. I mean, he's going to call back even those who are ineligible to fight this war.
Are you talking about within the United States?
Within the United States and Iraq.
But I mean, 200 million would empty our country out by about 5/6.
Well, how much you think those chemicals would do?
Yeah, but it says there are 200 million mounted troops. It doesn't say 200 million all said, including troops and those who were killed.
Well, like I said, when John was speaking that, he saw mounted troops. Now, we're going to be mounted not on horseback, maybe in jeeps or whatever. But I would give Reverend Baxter the benefit of the doubt that it just may be.
All right, Larry.
I wouldn't discount him at no cost.
Let me ask you this, though. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, for those who agree with Larry, you give Reverend Baxter the benefit of the doubt. If he's wrong on this, this thing is done in 6 months, and 150,000 Iraqis die, and nothing more is done, and a third of mankind is not dead, will you believe him the next time he says, hey, I found a fulfillment of biblical prophecy in the book of Revelation in the headlines? We'll be right back with more Open Lines.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is private confession and absolution a Roman Catholic practice? Did you know that Martin Luther called this practice a third sacrament? And how can this practice help resolve conflict in the church? You'll find answers to these questions with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, Confession and Forgiveness. The book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this book on our website, issuesetc.org, and click the What's New section, issuesetc.org. Confession and Forgiveness is written by Ted Kober of Peacemaker Ministries, a Christian reconciliation organization. The book costs $9.99 plus shipping and handling. Confession and Forgiveness, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House. That number, 1-800-325-3040.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer on creative ways of sharing the gospel. This news from Gospel Missionary Union demonstrates how targeting ministry is effective. AIDS victims in the West African country of Mali, street kids in Bolivia, and prisoners in Ecuador have a common experience. They're hearing about Jesus Christ. Also, people in Italy who make quilts and farmers in Bolivia also heard about Jesus' love through missionaries with Gospel Missionary Union. The missionaries themselves may have different skills and even professional backgrounds, which allow them to enter into different cultures. However, they're unified in their mission or purpose, that is, reaching unreached people with Christ's hope. GMU missionaries also need prayer for wisdom and knowing how to build ongoing relationships with folks who accept Christ. Learn more by logging on to the internet site gmu.org. That's gmu.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. I saw my first robin the other day, a promise that sunnier days are coming. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. The government reported that unemployment rose last month to 5.8%, the highest since November 2001. Are you in that group? Afraid you soon will be? How do you keep yourself up when unemployment prospects are down? Promises can help. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. Psalm 50:15. And when the day of trouble stretches into months, even years, when you say, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? As Psalm 13:1 says, remember the robin. Now that I've seen my first robin, I'll soon be waking to the singing of birds. Oswald Chambers wrote, songbirds are taught to sing in the dark, and we are put into the shadow of God's hand until we learn to hear Him. Listen in your shadows. God's promises are harbingers of sunnier days.
Did you know that every hour of every day, children have to leave their homes because they are not safe? Where will they go? Who will care for them until it is safe for them to return home? You can provide a temporary safe home for children by becoming a foster parent with the Missouri Division of Family Services. You can be the answer to these questions and make a difference in the life of a child. For more information, please call the Missouri Division of Family Services. The children are waiting.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we continue our series with Dr. Ken Sherb of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri, Myth or Faith. We're going to talk about myths regarding baptism with Dr. Ken Sherb, and we'll also have the conclusion, the sad conclusion, to our seven-part series on testing the truth claims of Christianity with Christian apologist and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Now, we have very little material to cover tomorrow regarding his book, Tractatus Logico-Theologicus. Very little, we have one sentence to cover. We're hoping to take virtually the entire hour of phone calls with Dr. Montgomery from believers and from unbelievers. If you've ever been stumped by an unbeliever in his objection to the truth claims of Christianity and you want to bring it before Dr. Montgomery to see what he wants to say, how he would respond, tomorrow is the time to call with Dr. Montgomery. Or if you're an unbeliever listening to us, and I know we have them, and you have an objection to the truth claims of Christianity, or one of those sentences that begins, you Christians, that is precisely the hour we want you calling in. The best caller will get this very expensive book, the latest from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Believer or unbeliever, the best caller will get Tractatus Logico-Theologicus. Or you can email us in the studio at issuesetc@kfuo.org. And if your email is among the best of emails or calls, we will send you this book. It's a $40 value, and it's from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Our phone numbers during open lines, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. A lot of people want to talk. Let's start with our car phone callers. Kennedy is on the line. Kennedy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for taking my call. I I don't think that's good prophecy, and especially when he's not sure. And if people are not sure about biblical prophecy, then they ought not to say anything and put fears in people for no reason. The second thing is that he is very inconsistent and contradicts himself when he says that if this prophecy is true, then Bush ought to be careful how he launches the war. To me, if it's a prophecy and if it's from God and it's going to happen, that means it's going to happen and nobody really has control. So then how will you say that Bush ought to be careful?
Kennedy, thank you for listening so carefully to the Reverend Baxter's comments there. That was an inconsistency I had noted as well, and I'm glad you brought it up. So Kennedy says, let's live by the, when it comes to biblical prophecy, let's live by the axiom. If you're not sure, say nothing about it. Don't speculate. Does speculating do anyone any good? Will it do the Reverend Baxter any good if he speculates about the fulfillment of a particular prophecy and he says, I'm 75 to 80% sure nothing happens, then the war with Iraq either does not occur, which is a very remote possibility, or when it does occur, it does not fit the bill of Revelation chapter 9, verses 14 through 15, then what good has he done himself? He speculated, and he's robbed himself of his credibility. The other thing that that Kennedy had to say, I think, was rather wise, and that is, if it is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, why would he warn George W. Bush about starting the war? If this is the war prophesied, if this is the sixth trumpet, if this moves us forward in the prophetic calendar, why would we want to forestall it? Because at the end of the prophetic calendar is the return of Christ. If God has prophesied one-third of the earth's population dead, as sad as that is, shouldn't we Christians who believe that it's prophesied in Scripture be urging George W. Bush to make it so, to act in accord with Scripture? Good points, Kennedy. Kevin is calling from his car. Kevin, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering if the Reverend had explained the five trumpets preceding the sixth trumpet in his article.
One of the things that he did say, and we have only the sound from the Reverend Baxter, first comment he made was that he said, if the fifth trumpet prophecy is fulfilled by the first Gulf War, the fifth trumpet prophecy being covered in Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12.
Right.
He says, if that is a reference to the first Gulf War, then this would fit well because of the reference to the Euphrates. Now, the fifth chapter makes no geographical references. And,
right.
And it talks about a terrible scorpion-like locust being leashed from the bottomless pit upon the earth to harm one-third of mankind for five
right.
months, not to kill them. Now, maybe he's got a five-month figure there that might fit with the general brackets of the short first Gulf War. So he's a little iffy on that one. That's all the more I have from the Reverend Irvin Baxter regarding whether or not the fifth trumpet has already occurred. That was the first thing that I thought about too, Kevin, was, okay, if we're talking about the sixth trumpet, and the ordering of these trumpets doesn't allow us to take them out of order,
right.
then we should be able to explain somehow where the first, the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth occurred in history as well, if we're going to say that this pending war with Iraq is the sixth. Unless, of course, we have turned biblical prophecy into such a wax nose that we can just plop our finger down anywhere we think it fits. He does need to explain what was the fifth trumpet, what was the fourth, the third, the second, and the first. Where did they occur? Or maybe you disagree. Maybe this is the way we do biblical prophecy today. When we find a corollary in geography like the River Euphrates, it should signal us that regardless of whether we can figure the rest of the stuff out, maybe this is a fulfillment staring us in the face. Give me a call, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Listening on the internet in Dearborn, Michigan, Rod is on the line. Rod, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd. Sometime in my life, I've had an interest in the end times, and I was just pastor up in Canada in 1988, and no more than got there, and every pastor in Canada and the United States received a booklet, which I've got a copy of, looking at right now. It says, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988, September 11th, 12th, or 13th. So it's similar that when world events like these seem to crop up, these guys come out of the woodworks that seem to maybe genuinely trying to scare people into the faith or make a name for themselves, sell books, whatever. But, I mean, the two first reasons out of their 88 were just almost comical to someone who knows the Bible. If you got a chance, I'll just if you got the time, I'll read the first two here for you.
Yeah, I'm waiting with bated breath.
The first one is that because Matthew 24:36 says that no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Because it says not only they don't know the day or the hour, it doesn't say we know the year, the month, or the week. So that's what they predicted, the year, the month, and the week. That was their number one reason.
So in other words, when Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour, he's not saying no one can set a date. He's
right.
saying no one can set a time.
Right, and so that's real poor biblical interpretation, as we know. And then the second reason to me was even weaker. They take the one of the Greek words for know, gnosis, and they twist it severely and say that it was just a premonition. And so certainly some people could have a premonition about this that God could give them, not absolute knowledge. And what's ironic here, that's their very two top, the best biblical reasons they have. And we all know, unless I'm really severely mentally incapacitated, that we've already been past September 11th, 12th, and 13th in 1988. Then I've got the second copy here, which came out in October of 1988, 2 months after the deadline, that said that they made a mathematical miscalculation, and it was going to be September 11th, 12th, or 13th, 1989. So this is just more, I think, of some people seizing a situation to scare people. And I would rather win people into the faith in Jesus with a clear teaching, which we don't have to really stoop to any apocryphal language, that the Lord died for us. And that the one caller was so astute with if this is Bible prophecy that's 100%, President Bush or none of us are going to be able to stop this.
Rod, while I have you on the line, and the listeners may recognize our caller's voice, he's Pastor Rod Zwanitzer. He's an Issues Etc. regular guest and author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month last month, Testing the Claims of Church Growth, and we did a series with him over the month of February. While I have you on the line, I know we'll be talking to Dr. Montgomery tomorrow, finishing our series with him on his book, Tractatus Logico Theologicus, and I understand that you have ordered a number of these books, and you have something that you have some good things to say. What would you tell our listeners about Montgomery's latest book?
I'll tell you, I've been a fan of Dr. Montgomery for a long time. As a layperson, he influenced me significantly, but I've never read anything so magnificent. And especially with intellectual friends, I have a brother that's a philosophical professor himself, and my brother is just stumped with the magnificence of this. It is so deep. I give it to all my friends and college students. I just think it's a wonderful tool as I understand apologetics, intellectual slum clearance, to just remove some of those intellectual obstacles so that the gospel might have a chance. And it's the most magnificent thing I've seen or read in a long time. I would encourage all your readers to get rid of something and buy this book. As you know, they're in short supply, and I can't get enough of them to give out as gifts. I think this is just one of the most solid tools that we Christians have in time. When I had a person in my office the other day asking me why they should believe in my God over all these others, and as I pulled this out, the person just couldn't stop reading it. He was just so interested in, because as you know, it's so wonderfully detailed in its explanation of going through all the gods and the philosophies and the worldviews, and showing logical. He's got a wonderful mind, and what, 35 years of doing this work. It's a masterpiece.
Rod, thank you very much for the call, and thanks for listening on the internet, folks. If you've got a bookshelf like mine, where when you get a new book, and I get a new book about every day, you have to like pick which book you're going to pull off and change around because your bookshelf is squeezed tight. And you've got that 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Should Occur in 1988, and then the next book that came out the next year, 88 Reasons Why It Didn't, and Here's Our Mathematical Error. If you pull those two out and toss them in the trash can, you will have made room for Dr. Montgomery's book called Tractatus Logico Theologicus, and it'll do you a lot more good, and it's not full of speculation. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about Irvin Baxter and his speculation that perhaps this war with Iraq is spoken of in Revelation chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Perhaps we are about to hear the sixth trumpet sound. Perhaps one-third of all mankind is about to die. And he says, if he's right, and he's only 75 to 80% right, and he hopes he's wrong. He says, if he's right, he would say, if asked to President George W. Bush, that he ought to be very careful about pursuing war, even though it's prophesied in the Bible. Do you agree or disagree with Pastor Baxter? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Waiting patiently on the line. Lonnie is calling from his car. Lonnie, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
I was wondering, from what I read out of Revelation, I believe the church is raptured before the trumpets. Has that happened?
Well, okay, now, that's an interesting perspective. Where in Revelation do you find the rapture?
Oh.
Before sure, the trumpets.
You got me on that one right there. I can't quote it for you right now. I've just been reading on it, so.
Well, it's interesting, and thank you for the call, Lonnie. For someone who would, I don't believe that there's a secret rapture in our future. I believe that Thessalonians chapter 4, that some people say speaks of a rapture, is talking about the second coming of Christ, not a secret rapture before his second coming. That's my perspective. It's been the perspective of historic Christianity for 2,000 years until the end times fervor and premillennial dispensationalism arose in the late 19th century. Now, Lonnie has a different view. Lonnie is willing to entertain the idea of a secret rapture before all the events of Revelation take place, the terrible ones take place. And that's a good question. I wonder if Irvin Baxter has dealt with that one. But maybe he puts the rapture after the terrible events of Revelation. Maybe he's a post-trib rapturist, which would explain a lot. And that's all the more I can say, Lonnie. I imagine that he probably puts the rapture after those events. Otherwise, it would be kind of silly for him to make the argument. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Ken, calling from Creve Coeur. Ken, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. Hey, I listen to a Irvin Baxter show, and the first trumpet is World War One. Second trumpet is World War Two. Third trumpet is Chernobyl. And the fourth trumpet, you notice how it seems like everything, the weeks fly by? That's pretty much the fourth trumpet.
Because it seems like time's going by quickly?
Yes. You know how it seems like it's Monday, all of a sudden it's Friday, just like that?
Yeah, except for my children, who feel like Monday to Friday lasts the better part of their lifetime. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and that's basically what he says the trumpets are. He has, and things in the Bible, which, for instance, like, I believe the first trumpet, or either the second, there was something about the ship, ships being, the number of ships, and also I think something, I listen to it, I don't have, you know, I drive all day, I don't have time to write these things down, but,
That's pretty much
the trumpets.
So he leaves out Korea, Vietnam, but he's willing to say World War One and World War Two are the first two trumpets.
Yes.
All right. That's very informative, and I thank you very much for the call. That helps. That helps. Because we did have callers wondering where Irvin Baxter puts the other trumpets. Now, he also has said if the fifth trumpet is the first Gulf War. It's very interesting that the Gulf War would get status as the fifth trumpet and not, say, for instance, wars that have been far more bloody, but not involving the United States directly, in the Middle East. Do this sometime. I mean, if you've got a spare few minutes, take those things, World War I, World War II, Chernobyl, the fact that time flies. You know, time didn't start flying for me until I got out of high school. Do you remember when you were a child and the hours just seemed to go on for days? If your mom said you have to spend an hour in your room, it was like, oh no, it was like being sentenced to 25 years to life. And now an hour, like a blink of an eye, a day, like a mere breath, a week, if you don't pay attention, you'll miss. I think that's a factor of getting older rather than the end times. But it is interesting, however, how short Baxter's perspective on the trumpets appears to be. Nothing in these trumpets that predates the formation of the United States. In other words, nothing of any real significance in biblical prophecy occurred before the United States. In fact, before the 20th century. World War I being at the very beginning of the 20th century. Something to think about. Chris, listening on the internet as well, calling from Macon, Georgia, is on the line. Chris, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing well.
I lived out here in the middle of the Baptist Bible Belt. And they're really big on the end times and rapture and things. And I know the rapture only appears in the Vulgate in 1 Thessalonians. And it's kind of funny. I was wondering where he stood on the rapture, if this is all supposedly taking place.
Well, I'm thinking that Baxter has got to be, I'm going to take a guess here, okay, Chris? I'm going to guess that he does believe in a rapture, but given the way he's reading the tea leaves of the end times, it sounds as though he believes the rapture is not the more popular view. Tim LaHaye, Jerry Jenkins, most of the other end times prognosticators would say rapture first, then tribulation. It sounds as though perhaps he might be a post-trib rapturist, or maybe he just is reading these things differently, so he's got a rapture that ends after the trumpets, that comes along after the trumpets, and before a seven-year tribulation. Who knows how he's doing it? 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning verse 13 through 18, as I said before, to my way of reading it, and to the church's way of reading it for about 1900 years, is reference to Christ's second coming, not to a secret rapture. In fact, if it's a secret rapture, it is one of the most public secret raptures I've ever seen, because it says that it's going to happen. There's going to be a trumpet call. There's going to be a loud shout. Nothing secret about that. Rather public. But when do details, I mean, details like 200 million mounted troops, as yet unaccounted for, if the Iraqi war coming up on us is found in Revelation chapter 9. Janet is calling from Collinsville. Janet, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. I know you don't believe in what Tim LaHaye says. I just, reading this book, Are We Living in End Times? This is either true or it isn't true. As early as 1971, Hussein was given $30 million by an oil-rich citizen of Iraq to commence the building of the ancient city of Babylon. The donor was probably a sun worshiper, for the first building constructed was a temple to the sun god. Since then, Hussein has spent untold millions more to rebuild the 21-square-mile ancient city that historically was one of the oldest and certainly one of the most important cities in history.
Well, rather
now,
that's
than either true or it isn't.
Well, it's either true. The question is this just a madman trying to relive the glory days of ancient Babylon, or is it a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? Just because someone decides to rebuild Babylon doesn't mean he's fulfilling biblical prophecy. The same logic operates this way. Just because a nation is founded in 1948 and calls itself Israel does not, except by the most simple-minded reading of Scripture, make it the equivalent of ancient Israel. But see, this is the way biblical prophecy, sad to say, is done these days. Ancient Babylon, whatever country's there while we're living, that must be the equivalent of ancient Babylon. Ancient Israel, whoever's occupying that land there, that must, if they call themselves Israel, that must be the Israel spoken of. As I said, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it's a simple-minded way to read Scripture. It's a Scripture that reads biblical prophecy without the cross. The cross just doesn't figure into the formula. Jesus, you don't need Jesus to read the Bible that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? You do not need Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead to read biblical prophecy according to the headlines today. You can do that kind of prognosticating. You can do that kind of making equivalence between ancient lands and modern lands without any reference to Jesus at all. Which tells me that there might be something wrong with that reading of biblical prophecy. Jesus says all Scripture testifies of Him. And sad to say, what it really is doing is it's doing what we often fault liberals for doing. Bible-believing Christians often fall into the same trap that we fault liberals for falling into, and that is reading Scripture with something else running the show. In the case of modern biblical prophecy pundits, they're letting the headlines and the latest announcement from CNN run the show of how they read the Bible, rather than let Scripture interpret Scripture. Now, for those of you who want to get a little deeper into this, next month on Issues Etc., God willing, we're going to have a five-part series with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn on understanding the end times. That's coming up in April on Issues Etc. I can tell you in advance that we won't be pulling out the headlines and trying to find out whether or not the River Euphrates makes reference to the Second Gulf War. If you're looking for that kind of excitement, that kind of pizzazz, those kind of flashing lights, and that kind of reading of biblical prophecy, you probably won't get it from Kim Riddlebarger in April on Issues Etc. What you will get, however, is a Christ-centered reading of biblical prophecy. You tell me this. You just tell me this. Which one is more in tune with how Jesus says the Bible ought to be read? You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are those that testify of me. Which way of reading the Bible is more in line with Jesus' way of reading the Scriptures? Reading Christ as the sum and substance and fulfillment of all prophecy. Reading the cross as the central event of history, not the Gulf War. Or scanning the headlines day after day, trying to find out whether or not there's some corollary of geography or number, so you can put your finger down and say, I'm 75 to 80% sure that this may be, although I hope I'm wrong, a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Which one accords better with Jesus' way of reading Scripture? You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Or he might say to the modern prophetic pundits, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you can discern the end times. They are those that testify of me. We'll be right back. Talk with Pastor Kurt Marquardt about evangelism.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.